piano is a big vibe, but the girls them know steadily, steadily, heavily. We are getting lit. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Bias Football Takes. I am your humble host, all the way from Nigeria, the reigning, I don't say reigning champion, but do let me jinx it, but we are there. We're there. The owners of our piano. We've rechristened Amapiano to our piano. We own Amapiano now. And with me today is a Liverpool fan who happens to be a Nigerian. Sam, introduce yourself.
That's the deadest intro I've had ever.
Yeah, he's
I'm
back.
back again.
He's back here. Today's will be an exciting episode. You know, Nigeria is on top at the moment. We are bowling. today's episode.
I hope it doesn't end in tears, but let's
Enemies,
go.
enemies, enemies, enemies. Just hold on. Just hold it. Hold it, please. Don't bring your Liverpool jinxing. On today's episode, we'll be discussing or reviewing the past games in the PL and, well, AFCON, obviously. Then we'll be discussing Klopp leaving Liverpool. We are bringing this topic back again because we have a Liverpool fan in the house, a Klopp fan. So we want him to come and express himself, how he feels. Then we'll discuss Mbappe moving to Madrid and what it means to world football. And of course, the best episode or the best section of this episode, everything AFCON from A to Z. And in our usual fashion, in our usual manner, we'll end the show with the preview of upcoming games, both in AFCON and EPL. Mr. Sam,
How far, brother?
you guys lost to Arsenal. What a shame. What a
It is
shame.
what
Anyways, before we get into that, a quick rundown of the games. Everton, Tottenham, 2-2. That was an interesting game.
man.
Brighton, Crystal Palace, 4-1. That was a little bit shocking. Burnley, Fulham, another one, crazy game, 2-2. Newcastle, Luton Town, 4-4, another crazy game. Sheffield United, Aston Villa, another crazy game, 5-0, Aston Villa winning that. Bournemouth, Nottingham Forest, a little bit anticlimactic, but 1-1. Chelsea Wolves, oh God, 4-2, Chelsea
Oh, that was a
losing.
chaotic game.
Very chaotic. Then Manchester United, West Ham, a little bit anticlimactic, 3-0. No
Nah.
drama, no drama, just a straightforward win. Arsenal, Liverpool, oh man, Arsenal beating Liverpool 3-1. I didn't really expect this that much, but we'll talk about that later. Then Brentford City. Brentford thought they're going to do a three winning streak, but Man City is too strong for them, 3-1. So let's start. Apart from the obvious Arsenal Liverpool game, which game sticks out to you?
Well, I saw a couple. Saw the Everton Tottenham. I saw the Aston Villa Sheffield.
Sheffield.
But the result I would say that stood out the most to me was the Everton one, because I was very impressed with this guy. Oh, they drew the game, but I was very impressed with
Yes.
the Spurs center back. Vanda, I keep on messing his name up.
Benavent.
Yeah, he was very, very impressive. Very quick, very sharp. I think he actually held that defense down by himself. To be honest, if he wasn't there, and these are all big ifs, and if Tottenham Everton had a proper striker, I think Everton could have finished off that game, because they had so many opportunities. They understand, like Sean Dyche is actually doing a good job, because he understood that game. He understood what.
Van der Veen.
No. As the coach of Everton is what I said, Sean Dyche.
Oh, so that okay. So
Yeah.
I thought I heard Van Dijk. I'm
No.
like, ah, but wait to
No.
wait.
No. But anyways, he understood the gameplay of Spurs, and he knew how high they would play, and he played to it. He played very well, long ball over the head. Find your striker, go through the wings, find a player, and beat their line and transcore goals. But obviously, that's where their levels to this striking game. What's his name? DCL wasn't at his best, but Harrison tried. It was a very good game. It was very, very impressive from Everton. Although they got lucky at the end, but I think they deserved to draw. Spurs also played a very good game, but I think both of them deserve that draw.
So here's my personal opinion. I feel like the world football are so, they are pandering to Tottenham so much that anything they do, you guys want to applaud them. Everton, for the larger part of the game, outplayed Tottenham. In fact, Tottenham were the ones that were lucky, not Everton. Because at the beginning, it felt like, okay, when Charlton scored the goal, the first goal, they were like, okay, Everton is going to be outrun in this game. They're going to be run ragged. But Everton came to the party and they did what they needed to do. As you said, they knew what they wanted to do and they stuck to their guns. And I feel like they're having similar problems that Arsenal would have. They've had this problem at some point this season and it's going to rear its head again really soon. They are fullbacks pushing so forward. I think Liverpool have been able to manage that. But I think the difference between Liverpool doing that is Klopp has noticed that, okay, since we don't have we become weak when we become strong. So I'm saying this in the sense that Liverpool become strong when they are attacking with your fullback strength or Robertson, whatever is playing, moves forward. You are really strong up front. But then you become very weak and very, very easy to go through. So what he did was, okay, I'll make my center backs go extremely wide so that whatever ball comes to them, at least there will be somebody there to kind of, I would say, reduce the pace, slow down the game, then for everybody to now come back into position to defend. Unfortunately for Arsenal and Tottenham, all their defenders are pushing forward with the attackers or with the midfielders. So it's like all of them are on the halfway line. So when there's that ball all over the top, then it's just almost one-on-one with the keeper. So, but me, I personally was really impressed with Everton because I was like, yes, this is how football is supposed to be played. Like, regardless of how weak or how I would say inferior you are to the other team, you have to come to the party. And yes, I felt like, well, I won't say it was luck. The goal, I won't say it was luck, but I mean, you what was that word? What was that saying that you drive your luck? You know. So that's just my personal opinion. Everybody just waxing about Tottenham, but we just. So, forget about your team.
Well, I don't think my comment was in regards to waxing anything about Tottenham, but I would say that Everton's last-minute goal or last goal was quite lucky because Romero. I don't understand how are you heading the ball backwards.
That guy, no, honestly, that guy. I don't know how. I guess he doesn't have any other player to play because. That guy is so calamitous. Like, there's something, he must do something in the game that might cost Spurs every game.
He is actually not bad. He's actually good, but obviously he has his cons as well. But he's actually good on the ball, but he just...
He comes with baggage, yeah.
Yeah, he just has his own baggages. Just like... But if well coached and if I think he's less emotional, he would be a lot better. But yeah,
it's difficult to coach those kind of players though. It's really difficult. But because it's more like instinct. Like it just do it. Like you just feel like, oh, I want to do this, and you just do it, and they're done.
But that's the thing, and that can be a strength and a weakness if depending on who's coaching the player. Because his instincts is what is making him a good defender, but obviously. He needs to be able to control it. Like, he needs to know when to go with it. Like, it's not really, like, it's to a point, like, you're becoming very active. You don't know when to actually gauge your instincts or, like, your moves. But, anyways, Romero is Romero. But, yeah, that was the game I would say caught my attention. Another game that was actually pretty interesting. And what made it interesting to me was because I read... not Emery's. What's he called?
Batchport.
No, no. He's pretty much.
Pretty much. Okay.
Yeah. He made a comment. He was like, you know, the first time they met was 1-1.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay. Yeah.
So, and he said it was like, pretty much in summary, he was like,
yes, 1-1, 1-1, yeah, yes.
Sheffield would not play the same way they played against us because they're home, right? They are not going to be able to play low block. They would have to go for the game. They would have to come out more to win, especially playing in front of their fans. And in my mind, I was just like, wow, this is actually hilarious. Because, like, it's making sense. But although Sheffield is a defensive team, any team at home will want to at least try and do something. Off a tangent, that's what actually made me cap Ollie Watkins for my FPL. And Unai Emery played Sheffield United. I don't even know if that's
Sheffield. He played with the psyche, mind game.
It's literally every 10 minutes, Ollie Watkins was beating their line.
Yep.
Like, it was a well-played game.
After the second goal, right, I was like, come on, guys. Just park the bus. At this point, I can tell that it become... Because it's too early to concede those two goals.
Too early.
Back to back, within 4 minutes, you are done. The game is done. The game is over. Like, you could tell the texture. Like, pack the balls. And they still kept coming out. Like, oh, my God. What's wrong with these people?
It was quite hilarious. Because I don't know what they thought they could do. You don't have the
facilities
firepower.
For it.
You don't have the firepower. You don't have the players. You don't have anything. Like, who is your striker? He didn't even start Archer. Right? So, it's just like, who is the person you expect to score these goals? His new signing... I think that one literally had one attempt the entire game, and that was it. And this guy also showed his class. Or what's his name? Because to be
honest,
Martinez.
Oh, Martinez, yeah.
He showed his class because to be fair, like they had some set pieces, they had some chances that it just seemed like they were unlucky, they were unfortunate, but overall, Aston Villa had full control of that game, and it's just like they knew what would happen and they played to it exactly.
Because I just defended. But Sheffield have just defended.
3-0. Fans were leaving.
Yeah, I saw it.
They scored their third goal. Like,
yeah,
is it 15th or 20th minute? I was just like,
20th minute. At that point, it just go and that goal was bad. Like that goal was.
I think crazy. That was Tillemans' goal, Abby.
No. Bailey cut in. Phew, left leg.
Yeah. I was like,
that was a dagger. Like, pack the bus. At least 2-0 is more respectable. Yeah. You lose, but 5-0, come on.
Bro, then, it was crazy.
But yeah, did you watch the Newcastle routine one?
I saw the second half. I saw it when it was... I saw it was 2-0. Or, no, actually, 1-1, 2-1. 1-1,
yeah.
Then, when I joined, when it was 2-1, I was like, okay, Newcastle got this. Now, we see our next game. 2-2, 3-2, 4-2.
Yep.
At that point, I was disappointed with Luton, though, in the sense that, like, I felt like they are good enough to have just parked the bus and locked up. But I don't know, like, what they were trying to do at that point. As I said, I'm impressed with them. Since that Chelsea game, I feel like I can see their gameplay. I can see their philosophy.
No, it was since that Liverpool game.
No.
Remember that Liverpool game? At home.
Yeah. But with the Liverpool game, why I don't count that was it was more of they were countering, right? Like, but as they progress, they're actually like controlling, they're detecting how they want to play. Right? They're not playing, like, they're playing how they want to play. Like, it's just now they have a style and they are going with it. Like, they showed it properly against Chelsea. Right? They showed it properly against Chelsea. They are very effective from the wings. That, what's his name? Ogbeni?
Ogbeni, yeah, Nigerian.
I can't remember his name now.
Ogbeni, pronounce his name properly, please. Ogbeni. Don't be doing like that.
Ogbonge.
Yes.
Calm down. Don't remember his name. Then what's that left back's name? Doughty. Ah, I don't remember this player's name. But anyways, I think his name is Doughty.
It's Doughty. Afi Doughty.
Yeah. So those, that guy is bombing it from the left. Ogbonge is bombing it from the right. Like, you can see that gameplay. Like,
even very, Ross very, Barkley, very flowers to Ross Barkley, man. It's like he's bringing, controlling. Yeah, he's bringing that maturity and experience into the game. Like, okay, when the ball gets to him, I would say, I've been able to catch a few looting games, and I would say, out of 100%, he makes red decision 85% of the time. You can tell that he's better than all the players around him, and he's trying to make the players around him good and almost to his level. So he played well in that Newcastle game.
Oh yeah,
but that penalty that cost.
He's been playing well.
Yeah, I know.
To be fair. How old do you think he is?
I'm trying to remember. It's like 30.
So, to be fair, because of the fact that I've known him for such a long time,
yeah,
I lost track of his age.
Yeah, he's 30. Yeah, it's 30.
I thought it was even 31. But
no, it's 30.
Anyways,
he's been a baller. All those kind of players that they have mileage.
Well, to be fair, he hasn't played a lot of games after he left Everton.
Everton. So,
so it was just like his career just kind of fizzled out. But it's good to see him playing. It's good to see him back. Reminding people the talents he once had. And hopefully, well, long shot, but hopefully he could get picked up by a decent team.
So if Luton Town doesn't really get, I feel like he should just continue playing for them, and because he should just become a culture role for them.
If they don't.
I feel like they would. Because if they are one that, look, I wanted them to win a Newcastle game because I wanted them to just increase their points.
Mm.
Yeah, and just distance themselves from the relegation battle. But unfortunately, they drew that game, and I also wanted Newcastle to lose because I didn't want Newcastle to be pinning down the neck of United. I mean, the game was really interesting. I really enjoyed that game. I was like, so close.
Yeah, it was a good game. It was a good game.
If that game had gone on more, Newcastle would have won that game.
I think you could see that they had been burnt out, Luton.
They got tired. But, so I didn't watch Chelsea Wolves, but I was shocked. I was like, what's going on? 4-2. Someone has a trick against Chelsea. Kunya of all people.
I told you that guy was decent. He's actually not bad at all.
You're playing against Chelsea. Like, come on now. Okay. Kunya, I'm like, Kunya of all people.
Not many people have scored a hat trick against Chelsea.
It's crazy. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's because Chelsea. Like, if Kunya has scored a hat trick against you, then there's something wrong with your team.
Nah, but I do rate Kunia. I think Kunia is decent. But Chelsea as a team right now, they're terrible. It's clear and it's stated. Although they won their game yesterday.
Yeah,
against Aston Villa.
It was quite surprising.
I didn't watch the match. I haven't watched a lot of games in a minute. But
I mean, I was busy watching my country, please. I'm patriotic, please.
Lucky.
After the Nigerian game, I didn't have any energy to watch any game. I was like, I was so exhausted.
And
so
I envy you guys that have remote jobs that you can watch games. But anyways, so I was very disappointed with Chelsea against Wolves. I think they started off, Chelsea scored first. Palmer. Yeah. Then I think they equalized.
Yep.
Then from there it just went down. But based on what I saw, like online, it seemed like Pedro Neto was running things.
Pedro Neto is always running things.
Yeah, like he was running things and he was just he was putting players on their heels. But all in all, Chelsea, I really don't know what it is. You don't know which Chelsea you get.
Yeah.
Like, and because I believe once they click or if they're able to get things right, they have the players, they have the quality to be very good. But at the moment, I just don't get it. I don't understand.
So speaking of Chelsea, right? if you are the owner of Chelsea, right? If you are the CEO, will you sack Pochettino?
So first of all, the only reason I probably wouldn't is that majority of the signings weren't his. Majority of the players he has are not his signings. I'll give him to the end of this season and see what he does next season.
Okay, so 2 seasons. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I feel like at this point, like it's they are beginning to lose the fans. And if you begin to lose the fans, that's how the collapse begins.
Yeah,
fans start bringing negative energy into the stadium. You know, there's no support from the fans. That's, you know, that energy that pushes players. Then players start second. I won't even say they are even playing well. Their morale is like low, so that they begin to second guess themselves. Disaster is just making whatever that guy's name is. Making ridiculous errors. I'm like, my God. And I understand. Those are kind of errors that you make when you are scared, like, oh, my God. And if you make that one first error throughout the game, you'll be rubbish.
It affects your morale.
You'll be rubbish. So, I don't know. You just need to find a way to fire up the fans so that when teams come into the stadium to play them, the teams will feel the heat. Because everybody wants to play them now. There's no respect. Sounds like United, like there's no respect that, oh, Chelsea will play them.
Nah, you guys are in a better position than they are, I would say.
Yes, but I'm saying, like, there was a period where, even till now, the respect is not there fully, but there was a period where teams wanted to play us at Old Trafford. That they were like, Old Trafford, we'll go there. We'll get minimum of 1 point. That's how, but you know this, you know you're getting your L before you even kick the ball. So those are kind of things that help teams like win games before. Like, you need to put that fear. Same way Man City plays. Before you even play, you're like, okay, how do we curtail these people? How do we not concede more than 2 goals this game?
That's for both teams. It's going to take a while, like, to get to that level.
So for me, Manchester United game, I mean, I was in 2 minds before the game. I was like, West Ham, they know how to stretch United. So West Ham and Wolves are like teams that I don't really go into the game with like mindset of we're going to win the game. But with the way the game started, I was like, okay, this is not bad. And West Ham did not come to the party at all. They just took the beating lying down. I would say this is one of probably the easiest game for us this season so far. The easiest win. Would not break any sweat. It was just all perfect. And not perfect in terms of gameplay. It was all perfect. Like, there was no stress, no nothing. Apart from our best player getting injured.
That's one point I was going to make. Martinez coming back to the squad was a huge boost.
Yes.
I think it's unfortunate he got hurt again, but you guys were great. I feel like with Martinez back, Casemiro back, your key players coming back, you guys would have gotten back on track.
Yeah.
But with Martinez then getting hurt, I don't know. Is Varane out or what?
It's not out. I don't know what's going on between him and the manager.
I'm trying to remember who replaced him when he got hurt. Was it Varane?
It was Varane, yes. It was Varane that replaced, yeah.
Okay.
It was Varane,
because I don't know. Probably Varane is not the same player we thought he was. But with Martinez coming back, you guys actually had that game under control. West Ham huffed and puffed, but without any avail. Kudus was somewhat neutralized, I would say. Bowen's form has also dipped.
He wasn't winning the game at all. I was like,
I think probably because I was thinking about it. I think Paqueta is actually being missed in the squad.
Yes.
Because he's the one that makes the attack tick. Like,
tick, yeah.
And I think the responsibility being just, I think I couldn't even lay my hand on who their creative player was. Because it seemed like you are giving those guys double role. produce and bowen, create and try and score. You need someone to actually facilitate all that. So I think Paqueta was a huge miss. If she was there, maybe that would have been a different outcome.
Yeah.
Who knows? But that's football. But yeah, I think you guys played a good game. Garnacho. What happened?
So for Licha, right? Going back to Licha.
Yeah.
Licha is probably, I would say, part of the reason why. This is not an excuse. Like, I'm not absolving the manager of anything, but our football seems to be good with Licha because he starts the play, and he's one that is very comfortable on the ball. If you notice, even under pressure, when people come to him, he never kicks the ball out. He just finds a way to like dribble around and pass the ball. So him going out, Varane is not that, has never been that type of player. Even when he was young, he wasn't that type of player that would hold the ball and want to like, okay, get away and start the game. So, yeah, it's going to be a huge blow. I guess we're almost back to our form, but now with Richard out, I guess we have to find another alternative. Because if you notice, Bruno Senom got the ball in positions where he needed to like kickstart the game or start the attack.
Oh.
It was always Licha getting the ball, looking up, okay, let's do this, get this ball in these areas. So that kind of helps, but as I wanted to mention, Garnacho. So apparently, since he moved to the right-hand side, he has performed way better on both wings, like without comparing him to anybody, he's played way better. And I guess it's because our attack is concentrated on the left-hand side, so there are more players, both opponents and us, on that left-hand side. So it frees up space for him to run on the right-hand side. So before the opponents realize that, oh, this is where they're really hurting us, the game is over. So, and I feel like we should continue with that because it's been a while we've had a balanced team. We've always so left-sided and loose-sided to the left-hand side. So hopefully, I don't know, hopefully we'll find a way. Hopefully his form continues because we need that balance going forward.
Yeah. Good to see you guys are doing something decent.
And this is my boy, Hoyland.
Yeah, that was a good goal he scored. He's a good finisher. I'll give him that.
Just give him the chances. Give him, feed him. He's been starving. Feed this man. Like even though I have my reservations, you know, of us acquiring him, but I know that he's a finisher. He just needs to get those chances. He needs to be on the ball. Like, it's been a while I've seen him one-on-one with the goalie. It's been a while.
Yeah, he's a good finisher. I'll give him that for sure. But yeah.
He
should train Rashford, sure.
He should train Rashford. Let's move on. Yes. Game of the round of the weekend. Aston Liverpool. What happened to Liverpool? Talk to me.
I would say Arsenal deserved the win. No excuses. Liverpool weren't as hungry. The only thing I would say is our midfield was really lacking. Gravenberg is not yet ready for the Premier League, but obviously we had no option. Szoboszlai was hurt. So missing key players in that midfield that would galvanize the team usually. But outside of that, the goals that we considered were very ridiculous. But it is what it is. Arsenal played their game and I think they deserve the win. Liverpool just, it's all these bumps or blips and they'll bounce back. I don't think it's not really a big deal or a moment to panic. I'm not worried about it.
So I have a question. Is Trent injured?
I don't think he's fully fit.
Oh, okay.
He was injured. He was coming back to fitness. And we were trying to save him for the game. But to be fair, he wasn't meant to start that game. But Bradley's dad passed away.
So there was
no way we were meant to play the guy. So, yeah, Trent had to play. And, yeah.
Okay, cool. Wait. Let me ask you a question. So, there's a friend of the show.
Mm-hmm.
He's been on the show many times. So, let me ask you a question. In that kind of situation, right, was it proper for the player to say, let's say Klopp did not give him day off, right? would it be okay for the player to say it's not the right frame of mind to play that game?
Is it okay?
Yes, to say that, for the player to say, I'm not the right frame of mind to play this
game. We are talking about Conor Bradley.
Yes.
100% no.
Okay. So, was it, which keeper got, I think, I'm trying to remember which Arsenal keeper. Was it Raya or what's his name? So, his wife put to bed. And I think there was a game that was a few days, a day after or something, or maybe that same day or day after. And it was like, he wasn't going to play. Yeah, he wants to, you know, be with his wife and kid. And the friend of the show was like, why would Ramsey say...
It was Ramsey.
So why Ramsey would say he's not ready to play the game, that is his wife sick or is the baby not okay. So what's your take on that?
So my take on it is this. In as much as we're lovers of the sports or passionate about the game, these guys are still mere human beings, right? They have emotions, they have feelings. They're not robots. If they want to share a memorable time with their family or whatever it might be.
A milestone.
Yeah, like, let them be. Like, if they die or whatever, your life will move on. Let them live their life. So let's not feel like they're obligated to make us happy at all points, all at the demise of them losing their own joy and happiness just to please us. Nah, it's not like that. That's not fair.
I agree with you. I was like, are you kidding? He was like, yeah. He was, and I guess it's because they are scared of, you know, losing their streak or losing the team chemistry that's going for them. I'm like, yo, you want a keeper that his mind is not in the game? Or, like, okay, let's even say he will come and you not put him on the bench. Isn't that crazy?
Like, what's the point?
Yeah, what's the point? And you have a capable keeper. Well, it's not like the other keeper is not almost as good as he is.
Yeah, and to be fair, like, and the coaches 100% understand that. That's all about man management and understanding, like, look, everybody has their life to live. Like, players come and go.
Yep.
Right? It's the same way we are quick to turn on people when they are doing bad. We praise them when they are doing good. Like, so why should they take... overlook valuable times like that, all for people that they will easily change their mouth whenever anything goes wrong. Like, these are people that matter the most to them and care about them. Yeah.
Anyways, let's talk about your manager leaving. How do you feel? Do you feel, are you excited? Do you feel elated? Or are you feeling despondent, feeling depressed?
definitely not depressed, but obviously it's a shocker, and it's also very like something that I would say most fans were not expecting, because obviously Klopp has come changed the whole trajectory of Liverpool, and he would dearly be missed. But the time that it happened, obviously, it's just quite shocking. It's like, bro, we're just getting back to where we were again. I think his charisma, what he brought to the club, is what is going to be missed the most. Like, he was a very charismatic manager. He brought passion. He brought everything. Like, the guy was, like, if he wanted to form a cult in Liverpool, he could form a cult. Like, that's how charismatic he is. And yeah, like, he's brought so much joy to Liverpool fans. So I understand fans being down or not being happy about it. The time would come, but obviously I think the crazier part is, and what is making fans possibly a little worried, is we don't know who the successor would be. Right? And whoever the successor is, we know they might never be able to live up to Klopp.
So I have a few questions for you. So you remember when Chike came on the show and said his prediction, like just wild prediction for the remaining of the season, is that Klopp was going to leave Liverpool. Did you see that coming for you? How did you take that? Did you like expect that to be true? Did you see that coming?
No, I didn't expect it to be true. The only caveat to what he predicted was, if I remember correctly, was he specifically said if they don't win the league. Then he will quit. That's the only... But this is mid-season. As Klopp said, let him like win all the trophies that are left. He's not staying. It's more of... It was a bold prediction. But obviously, even person predicting it and hearing Klopp announcing that he's leaving, he will still be shocked.
So, let me tell you my personal take, right? I'm a known hater. 100%. I feel like he said that to just genuine sympathy.
Sympathy for what?
I don't know. Like, he does feel like he wants sympathy. He wants to fire up the players. He wants to fire up the fans. He wants EPL to kind of give him that. You know how EPL gave... professional PFA gave gigs, player of the season, gave, what's his name again? This former manager, this Scott Parker, player of the season. I feel like he's more like emotional sympathy, you know. That's just my personal take, because there's no reason why you should announce that middle of the season, because it's very dangerous, very precarious, because it might affect how your players react to that. So players might not react properly, like, oh, why is this guy saying he's going to leave? Might be too much pressure on them. Like, okay, now I want to win the league for the guy. I might be too much pressure. Because no matter how great he is, he's not greater than Sir Alex Ferguson. And Sir Alex Ferguson, after 20 years in the league, announced after the season ended. So this is just my personal take. Just my personal take, right? Personal take. You don't need to respond to it. You can respond to it if you want to, but...
Didn't Alex Ferguson do it twice?
Yeah, but it was at ending of season.
For both of them?
Yes. It wasn't middle of season. It was not.
I'll check you on that later. But he did the same thing and midway he changed his mind for the first time. So I don't know how that was ending of season and he changed it. I'm sure he... probably did it during the season.
It was not during the season.
Either during the beginning. But anyways, I'm sure he has his reasons for doing that. As he said, it was known since November. I feel like him and the owners had come to an agreement and they felt it was only right to share the moment with the fans and everything. I think it's also a money strategy. Because after that, they announced the deal. They're going to be recording Liverpool and him pretty much kind of like the last dance with Klopp. They're monetizing it. So I think it's more monetizing as opposed to emotional.
But they could have recorded it without announcing.
What do you mean?
They could have recorded whatever thing they want to record.
So like they've done that. They tried to do that before, and Klopp categorically said he didn't want that. So I think now they're just trying to do it. Like, okay, now you're leaving. We're going to get this one part and keep it going. But I do agree with the fact that it could have a negative impact in the sense that like the pressure now. If they lose one thing or the other, it's going to be like, wow, these people are not living up to the expectation of giving Klopp a good send-off or whatever. So it could have... It's a two-edged sword, but we'll see how it goes. I think the players are capable of living up to the task. They're good enough to do that. Are they going to win all the trophies? I don't think so. Because I saw Trent saying... He's trying to win quadruple. It's good to think that way. As they say, shoot for the stars, land on the moon.
So, are you guys saying in Carling Cup?
Yeah, we're in all the competitions.
Oh, interesting.
Carling Cup, you mean Carabao? We're in Carabao?
Carabao. And FA Cup?
We're still in the FA Cup. We're going to play Southampton next.
Interesting.
So, oh yeah, you understand. You're not about that life. But anyways, so I think the players, it can be a huge boost for the players. They go on and win everything. If they do, it's be a perfect send-off.
You guys cannot win everything. Just forget. You cannot win everything.
I don't expect that.
You cannot.
But anyways, if they do, it will be a perfect send-off. But I think the one trophy, at least, they have to win for it to be a great send-off will be the Premier League. Any other trophy, we don't really. But that Premier League, if they can win it, perfect.
So
that's the best they can do.
So I have another question for you. Remember in the 2000s, right? From 2004 to date, right? You guys have been second how many times?
About four times.
Four.
Because we were second twice under Benitez, if I'm correct. Okay, no. Wait. From 2004 till now?
Yes.
About five times then?
No.
So, I'll tell you. So, we were second under Benitez.
Yes.
I think Chelsea we were second under Brendan Rodgers.
Right? No. You guys were second under United.
We were second under Brendan Rodgers now. I'm telling you by manager. Against Man City. Man City took it and won it.
Wait. When you said Benitez, it was United that won it that season.
Was it United or Chelsea?
It was United.
Okay. So, it was second under Brendan Rodgers. It was second twice under Klopp.
Twice under Klopp or once?
Twice.
Yeah, sure.
Bro, we lost by 1 point twice.
No.
Please, fact check me since you know my club better than I do.
Hold on. EPL winners.
97 points. 92 points. We won it to 99.
So, okay. So, twice on that club, right? Hold on. Let me be sure of that. Because I'm going somewhere with that, with this particular discussion. So, 19. Yes. Okay. Twice. So, this one I ask is, do you feel when you guys were second under Benitez and Brendan, right? Do you feel football was not as good as or was not as comparable as under Klopp?
What do you mean?
Was it bad? No. Okay, if you want to rate it, you want to rate the four times. Which one do you think you guys played the better football? Because I'm trying to say something. I'm going to ask you a question after this. But those four times, right? Not when you guys won and when you guys played against blind people. But when you guys were...
Blind people? Which was blind people?
Yeah, because closed doors. Like, nobody was there. Well, I don't understand. I don't read that.
They were blind people. We didn't watch games.
It was blind. Like, there was nobody in the stadium. You guys played under darkness. There was no floodlights. There was darkness. Anyways, yes. Darkness and blind people. But the four times you guys were second, right? Do you think the football rates the football?
Rate the football, like how we played.
Yes.
Obviously, under Klopp, we played the best football. Now,
was it way better than those two times?
Yes.
Way better,
bro.
Even under Benitez, that didn't lose any game throughout the season. Benitez, I think it was only one game or two.
We've done the same thing under Klopp. Do you realize that?
I know, but which one is better?
I already answered your question, but you're asking me another question. If the same with Benitez, Klopp's team and the way we played has been a lot better.
So and, far off, like
yes,
way, not when you guys won it, but those second when you guys were second. So it was far off. Like if you say, like give
brother, I understand English. It is better. You don't need to explain any further. It has been better.
Okay,
with Benitez. The key players, Benitez, and what makes Klopp's own a lot more, what makes Klopp's own better is the fact that we were a lot closer. It's actually even more, Klopp's own is even actually more painful, I would say that.
More closer but than Benitez?
I said Klopp's. Yeah, no, actually more painful.
Than Benitez's own?
Yes, now we were 1 point away on those two occasions.
Okay, oh, so like,
Are you trying to? You're just trying to set up for your question. What is your question?
Yes, yeah. So my question is, in list of managers, right?
Uh-huh.
What place is Klopp in your greatest managers? What position would he be?
In Liverpool.
Yes.
Yeah, we can question and ask. Obviously, he's def's top one, top three, top one, self.
So he's greater than all previous managers that you guys have ever had.
So
not from 92, like from all the way back.
That's what I said. I knew you were going to bring that caveat. That's why I said top three.
Yes. But obviously, I mean, you guys do not have any good manager in 92
but
now.
If I'm going to go based on the managers I've experienced, Gerard Houllier, Benitez, Dalglish, Brendan Rodgers,
yeah.
Roy Hodgson, Brendan Rodgers, all of them, top is death top one. If we're going far back, the only reason I'll pick the two other guys is because they want more European championship and they want more Premier Leagues. But those were in the 70s or 60s.
So, in Premier League era, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Klopp has the best squad.
Okay.
So, does that play a part?
I don't know. He has the best squad. He created the squad. Don't say he has the best squad. He made that
team. Regardless of whether he made it or not. Like, I'm just telling you.
You can't say he has the best squad. Because when Benitez at the time had Xavi Alonso, Mascherano, Gerard Torres, and Pepe Reina, Pepe Reina was still pretty good. That was still a very good squad. Like,
but you know, during that period, football was very difficult. Football was not this pass, run thing, XG and all these things. Anyways, so
brother, you have an agenda.
My next question. So, Premier League as a whole, what position do you think Klopp would be in the list of greatest managers?
Premier League as a whole.
Premier League era.
And we're basing this, if we're basing it based on just titles.
I'm not about titles. Okay. Okay. The floor is yours. You can do titles.
Because if it's based off of titles, he's not top five. That one, without a doubt, he's not top five. But if we're talking about what he's brought to the game, what's the points achieved, all of that,
mm-hmm.
then I'll say he's top five.
Okay. So let me ask you a question, right? Which one are you going for? Regardless of any caveat you're putting in, where does it stand in top in payment?
I think overall, I'll say he's def top 10.
So he's not top five?
I think he's top five, but the number of titles he's won would be his downside.
Again, you say you understand English, and I'm trying to tell you that and regardless of what caveat you want to push, you can do LCM, you can do IS common factor, whatever caveat, whatever parameter, whatever. Tell me.
I've answered your question. I told will it be, you. Overall, what will it be? Overall, yes. Factoring everything.
Yes.
Top 10.
So can you give me the top 10 that you think? Give me
The people that are definitely above him will be Alex Ferguson, Pep, Mourinho, Wenger.
Okay, so he's top five.
I can think of. Outside of that, what other coach
can be top five? So he's top five.
Mm-hmm.
And I just asked you, say top 10.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I can't think of any other one right now. If I think later, I can come up with some, but at the moment, I can't really think of any other manager. That's why I said holistically, I'll just give him top 10. Just
okay.
Overall.
You know what we'll do? When you come back, I'll ask you the same question again. So we're going to think about it.
What's your own top 10?
I'm the anchor of this show. Don't ask me
that's
questions.
Not the question now.
That's the question.
So
this question
is above him because you think there are more people above him.
No. I don't think there are more people above him. Like, it's kind of straightforward for me. Like, uh-huh. The likes of Ferguson, Mourinho, Pep, Wenger, the man that won Leicester City,
Ranieri.
Yeah, Klopp might just feature in after those guys. Might just feature in. And that's because...
And he's above... That Ranieri is above him because of Leicester.
Yes. Because it's difficult. It's a difficult fit. It's a difficult fit to pull. Resources, history, caliber, you know, all those things come to play. I said those are people that would probably be ahead of him. So I cannot think of those that would be ahead of him after those. I need to think about it too. No, I mean, you have to factor in a lot of things like caliber,
but you wanted me
style,
to
manner, you know. No.
Anyways, continue.
Yeah, so Mbappe to Madrid. I feel like this transfer would kickstart a circle, right? And this is me personally. Mm-hmm. Him going to Madrid will make PSG look elsewhere for similar profile in terms of output and stature and stardom. And they might look at Rashford. And I want United to sell Rashford. I said this at the end of last season, that cashing on this guy now, United did not listen to me. And I'm saying it again. If PSG comes, cashing on Rashford. I love him at United. He's a very good player for United. He fits into what I want to play. I would love him to stay. But sometimes marriage ends cashing on this guy. So if they don't call for him, I feel like PSG might test waters with Osimhen.
Yeah, that's actually what I was going to say.
Yeah, Osimhen. So between Rashford and Osimhen, right? If you look at it critically, the person that they want to go for first will be Rashford, for obvious reasons. Because there's no reason why. I mean, I won't say there's no reason, but I don't see why Madrid had to say kind of quote unquote waste 1 year waiting for Mbappe when they could have gone for Osimhen. But they won't have gone for Osimhen. So the same reason is why PSG would rather go for test waters with Rashford and see, test the reserve of United and see how far they can push the envelope. Then they will settle for Osimhen. And that might make Chelsea spring into action and break the bank, whatever, and try to catch Osimhen, because Osimhen fits into what the style and way they need someone like him in that squad. Because when you see someone like him playing, he kind of galvanizes the whole squad, kind of brings in new type of energy. So that's like, it's going to be like a very, you know, and Mr. Tony, I'm not sure Arsenal will be able to afford him.
No, I don't think he will go to Arsenal.
So if he doesn't go to Arsenal, then who's Arsenal going to sign?
Oh, wait. Is it Tony? Oh, you said Tony.
Yeah, Ivan Tony.
Oh, Ivan Tony. Okay. I was thinking of Osimhen. Yeah. Ivan Tony to Arsenal is more feasible.
And so then Chelsea has two options. They have Ivan Tony option and they have Osimhen option. So you see how the whole thing goes. Then who's out there again? Just, I think that's like the top strikers in market right now that will be available.
I think the ripple effect would be determined based on who reacts first. So what I mean by that is, as you said, although I think Osimhen will be a better fit for PSG if they ever do go for Rashford, if they get Rashford, then we'll then have a tug of war, a bidding war for Osimhen, Ivan between Arsenal and Chelsea. But if Osimhen goes to PSG, right, Then it should not be a bidding war between Arsenal and Chelsea for
Antony. Yeah.
So it all depends on who reacts first. Or I don't know if there's any, I can't think of any new striker right now.
Yeah, I can't think too.
That is hot commodity. Unless, I can't even think of anyone right now.
And I feel like United is being thrown into the fray too. My I want to like
buy a striker?
Yeah. Greed.
Why?
Greed.
Nah, you got, if you're going to buy a striker, you can't even, I don't think you're in the position to buy a striker unless you're getting a backup and the person is literally much older.
Yeah, but so we need a replacement for Rashford if he leaves. So you see where I'm driving at?
But that's if Rashford leaves. But if Rashford leaves, you would probably go for a winger striker. Someone that can also play that position. It's not necessarily going to be a striker. So you could go for... Burning Field doesn't play wings. What's his name? If this guy was actually... So Africans have this, I don't know, there's no media to them, but there's talent, but there's no agenda pushing them. Yeah. So like a Lookman now.
There's no PR.
Lookman is a very decent player, very good player, but there's no PR around
for United.
I think he'll be a good player wherever he goes to.
So right? So wait for you, for Lookman, right? Mm. Lookman, I personally will not sign Lookman to United. Not because Lookman is not good enough. Not that Lookman doesn't have the right talent. I know that it doesn't fit into how United plays or the style of United or philosophy. But we have 3 Lookmans already at the club that they're not even playing.
Like, well, who?
So we had Gomez, right? Same style, right? We have Ahmad. That is almost like, to me, Ahmad is the same thing as Gomez. So Lookman coming in is the same replication.
So I'll say this, just to counter your point, is this. Who is the player that is actually ready? Because I would say Ahmad is more of in the works, right? Lookman is a more prepared player, or like he's not in the works kind of. He's not in that in the works phase anymore. He's a player that's okay, I'm ready to produce.
Play now. Mm. So I'm not saying that he's not ready again. My talk is not about his talent or how prepared he is or how he fits in. It's perfect. Like if he comes to United, he will play. He will ball. Like he's a baller. But my issue is the manager. Does the manager want that type of player? Do you get what I'm saying? Like does he want that kind of player? Because a man has been fit for a while now, and this man is bringing in academy player ahead of Ahmad.
So yeah. So I guess it all depends. Well, I'm not factoring in what Ten Hag is thinking now.
Exactly.
Ten Hag is just Ten Hag, but I'm just saying who will be available that would make sense. With Rashford, I feel like probably we'll find. I think you there are a lot more replacement for Rashford than you think. I think the wingers Bokumen is the strikers that I think will be the problem.
Mm.
Because I don't think there are that many prolific strikers right now. I think the system of play, everybody is trying to play that false nine or
false nine striker. Yeah,
right. And like, we're not having goal scoring strikers anymore. Look at Jesus don't finish.
I said this season, before the beginning of last season. Jesus cannot help you win the league. Cannot.
But,
and I came here and said, the joy is not in scoring. I'm like, dude, a striker, can you say he's not even scoring?
I believe he said that just to relieve pressure from him.
He's not a serious person.
Right?
Even if it's to relieve pressure, right? He's not a serious person. How can a striker say that? If I'm a manager and I'm a striker, says that, I'm going to sit down and say, dude, are you all right? Is everything okay at home?
Yeah, I think he clearly just did. Clearly said that just to get people off his back. But
it's like the defender saying, I'm not trying to defend. I'm just trying to play the ball from your back. Like, dude, your first assignment on the pitch when I'm picking you is not to allow that ball into the net.
No, but all in all, I still think Jesus is a decent striker, but obviously we just
the number of strikers available actually giving us proper outputs is not that much.
A lot. Yeah, it's been a lot. I agree. So, again, PSG come for Rashford. Manchester United, when PSG comes, do not say no. Save this guy.
How much?
So, right now, it's still valuable. It's very valuable. But I cannot put a price tag on it. Maybe like 80 upwards. Because now, FFP is coming in. So, how much about English tax? How much do you think it should go for?
No, I'm just saying, like, the fact that it's English, his price is already going to go up.
Exactly. Now. Originally, it was...
I don't understand. Why are you denying it?
No, wait. Now, originally, it should be like, maybe like 120 last season. But, I mean, this season, for obvious reasons. So, anything less than 80 million, like, we have to really, really talk about it. Yes, my favorite segment of this show, everything AFCON. So before you talk, you didn't watch the match, right?
No, I haven't seen any game.
Oh, okay. Let me tell you what happened during this game. So, throughout, again, before this, at the beginning of this tournament, I'm like, I'm not really interested in AFCON. I don't want to watch like that. And people were like, at least even if it's highlights, watch. I said, okay, cool. So I started watching a few games. Like, okay, I'm sad. You guys have my attention. First things first, I will say this again. VAR, top notch.
I've been hearing about that.
Very good, fast. Like, in the game between Nigeria and South Africa, all the calls were spot on. It was so spot on that both parties did not feel any grudge. Like, okay, the game, maybe the ref made some wrong calls or, it was one-sided. No, balanced from the beginning to the end. All the calls, the penalties, the yellow cards, the fouls, perfect. So, but before this game, the VAR, it took them less than 2 minutes to come to... I'm even being very generous. I don't want to say anything less than 2 minutes, but they were quick and to the point. That it wasn't subjective. All the subjective calls were on point. Like, there was no gray area that, this place is closed, this one is closed. No. Straight up to the point. So, this game started 3 p.m. No, 12 noon Eastern time. I started watching. I was like, okay. Before the game, our Grammys, make me water.
No Nigerian.
So before the Grammys, when I saw the nominations, I was like, damn. This girl is going to win this category because the way she's been pushed, the way she's been marketed, like she's just fitting to the perfect Grammy winner.
Mm-hmm.
The song, like, it's all everywhere. And it's crazy. For every time they play that song, they will play Davido's Unavailable.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, they will play Burna Boy's City Boys.
Mm-hmm.
Every radio station, every DJ mix, everywhere you go to. So those three were like really, really close. But she has the better catchy tune. Like, is Afrobeat performance. So it encompasses the musicmanship, the composition of the song, and performance. Like, performance is like, how do you perform this song? Although Unavailable and I'm a piano, good performance. City Boys, not really, but it was a... They're all good songs. So, but the way she was pushed, I was like, yeah, she's going to win it. But Grammys night, I was like, okay, fingers crossed, 20 things have happened. And boom, she won it.
Stranger things have happened.
Yeah. Boom, she won. I was like, okay. So, Nana put a lot of pressure on Nigeria. They were like, okay, Afrobeat is a Nigerian word. It was coined for Nigerian tune. But they want to put all African artists under that category, which I personally feel like is a disservice to artists coming from out of Africa, because you have rap artists, you have R&B artists, you have pop. So why will you now classify all of them under one category? I guess you take whatever you are given.
Mm-hmm.
So the game now being okay, the game between Nigeria and South Africa.
Afrobeat versus Amapiano.
Yes. So originally that was the like that have made sense. But fortunately, unfortunately, the Nigerian team right now is very heavily
influenced
by Amapiano. So on Twitter, formerly known Twitter, now X, people are like, okay, it's battle of wounds, Amapiano.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. So it was, I think it's been a while. I've really been so anxious about the game. Been a while, like a long, like maybe like 5 years. I was like, okay, we need to win this game now. And the game started. Okay. Nigeria started playing well. Nigeria started playing well. And I felt like South Africans kind of were respectful of Nigeria because it's Nigeria. And mere fact that we've beaten them at every competitive game, everywhere. So we've beaten them. We have that coming on for us. So we're like the favorites coming into the game. So they respected us. And they were like, okay, sitting back a little bit, trying to feel the game. And Nigeria were like knocking. And all of a sudden, I think about like 30 minutes, 35 minutes, South Africans woke up and started playing. And for the larger part of the game, of the match, South Africa really bowled. They were playing across our defense, breaking our defense down. But we have, well, I would say, arguably the best defense and the best goalie in the tournament.
Yeah.
And we're able to neutralize that. And I was like, okay, let's see how do we get out of this? Every time we got the ball, we couldn't hold on to the ball, or we're making like wrong passes, bad decisions. But we were trying to like push up, but we couldn't just push up. We were just being pushed back. And all of a sudden, ball got to Osimhen. And Osimhen did his thing, turned around, made that swift turn, and got to the box, and was fouled. I was like, okay, this should be a penalty now. Like, it's like there's nothing like confirmed. And me having the belief in VAR, I was like, okay, no how, they'll give it, and they gave it. I was like, okay. And knowing the keeper is a very good shot stopper facing, you know, penalties. And Trostekong came, put it in the middle, like right in the middle. I was like, yes, that's how you do it. Like, because the other game that they won penalty shootout, the Cape Verdeans kept putting it on one particular side. I'm like, dude, change your style. Another one, you know, middle, boom. We're like, okay, we're about to win this game now. Let's like, everyone, you know, nerves, you know, relax a little bit. And we started playing. Now, I think it was like 89th minutes.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Yeah, 89 minutes. And so before the time, the manager, the coach, made two substitutions. Removed Wobi, removed one other person. I can't remember the person removed. And I was like, even though Wobi wasn't really like giving me the full joy, but it was, I would say it was the better person on the ball when we were attacking. Mm. He knows how to like bring us out of that defense. You know, it was a better link, mm-hmm, between us and the attack, defense and the attack. I was like, okay. And the manager removed him. I was like, oh wow, this is serious. So it would be and Moses Simon. Yes. So those two players. I mean, Moses Simon, like, I wasn't really bothered about him. Mm-hmm. But I felt like Chukwueze will come in and do something
okay,
differently from Moses Simon. And they brought in Alassane.
So it will be. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I don't really trust this substitution, but let's see, you know, let's trust the manager or let's trust the coach. Unfortunately for us, the person that came in was the one that caused the penalties. And so when that happened, right, when there was that kick, he kicked the back of the player's leg. I was like, I saw it. I was like, So if that happened and we attacked, like we countered, Osimhen fumbled the ball, but it just got into the net. I was like, the second goal in the tournament. They're saying that he has not scored goals, but the man has been he's worked tirelessly, he's been selfless, you know. I was like, okay. And next thing, you know, like, the South Africans are like, this is a foul, like, go and check, like, what are you blowing? So there was not a good angle for us to see at that moment until VAR went to check, and it was like, yeah, it was a clear penalty. Like, it was really clear. Like, there was nothing you could have, like, you had nothing to say about that. Like, okay, this is on point. Boom, they scored. And when they scored, I was like, extra time. Ah. So before the extra time, they had the free kick. As I know that it was written in stars that South Africa was going to lose. They had a free kick, direct free kick. Nwabali punched the ball and it fell into South African's feet. Normally, one-on-one, boom, into the net, game over. At the end of the game, but it's just skied it. I was like, oof. So, extra time. Now, at that point, I was like, you know what? This is not good for my health. I switched off the TV. I had a meeting. I was concentrating on the meeting. I didn't even touch my phone. I was like, I just want the result. And I had people texting in the group. I'm like, oh, this is, I didn't check anywhere. I just call my phone. Like, I cannot do this. I live alone. I don't want to have IBP. I have a pressure.
They can't find you.
Before people find me, it'll be too late. I was like, I was concerned on the meeting. I was like, I was participating. I was acting. I was like, nothing comes. So I kind of started to check. Like, ah, okay, extra time, finish. Still 1-1. Okay, there's still hope. But knowing how South Africa played the previous game, penalties, I was like, ah. And I noted that the way to score this guy is to do what Bruno does before he kicks the ball. Feint, body feint, and, you know, kick the ball, roll the ball into the net. I was like, hopefully my players would do that. But I didn't know what the penalties. I was like, okay. So statistics checked, and I saw 1-1. We scored ours. They scored theirs. I was like, ah. No, they missed theirs. They
missed the first one.
Yeah, Murphy came in. So the subs were perfect. He brought in Murphy, brought in Aribo, brought in Ian Acho. Those three players, like, perfect. Brought in Kenneth Omero, perfect. Like, that was perfect. So Murphy came in, rolled the ball into the net. I was like, okay. That's like, but I didn't watch it. I just saw one. Then I saw them miss. I was like, what? They missed? Ah, okay. I was like, well, it's just the beginning. That's normal. Like, you know, that's. Then I did not check again till the end of the game. And I picked my friend. I checked. Oh, Omero scored his own. They scored theirs. Well, I not missed. Wow. Missed. Then they missed that. Like, okay, balance. Then Trusekon scored. Then he scored. Now, senior man took his penalty. And this man has not played any minutes. And he scored. The way he jubilated, you would think he scored a 9-minute goal in the World Cup final.
But pretty much, that's so almost hilarious.
It was so hilarious. But yeah, it was hectic. And, you know, Nigerians went to the South Africans on X, formerly known as Twitter. They went in on them. And it was an interesting night. I really enjoyed it. I was like, yes, okay. Now let's go to the final. At this point, I feel like it's a championship winning side. That's how you play in this kind of short tournament where you don't concede too many goals. You know what you do. You know, have maturity to feel the game. Don't allow your emotions affect the game. At one point in time, emotion was kind of shaky, but we were able to hold our nerves. And I would say kudos to those guys. Yeah,
like, great summary. I'll give you that. But so far, like, yes, you said championship. But one thing I know I've been seeing online is that we're not scoring as much as we expect.
Yeah.
So I don't know how. Well, our defense has been our saving grace for the majority of the tournament, which obviously, to win competitions like this, you need great defense. Yep. So give them their credit. But attack, I think we need more goals to our game, especially against Ivory Coast. So far, I've been seeing like their score lines, them either coming back or like they're relentless. So it seems like that. We just need to kill them off.
So to say something about that, our defense had been, I would say, probably the best because we have the highest goal scorer in our team in the Trostekong. And
wait, he's the highest goal scorer.
Yeah.
In tournament?
No, for Nigeria.
Oh, I was about to say.
So, I think it's between him and Lookman.
I think Lookman should be, because I think Lookman has more than 3 goals.
Yeah, I think Lookman has 3 goals, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know how, I would say, it's because of, how do I explain this? It's not like we're not attacking. We're attacking. We are doing well. But the problem is our decision making is very horrible in the final third. We have Mr. Simon, who, when he gets the ball, he makes the extra touch when he's supposed to cross the ball or make that quick pass. Even Lookman did not come to pass. And Lookman is one of the players that I'm like, okay, this guy has been very good in this tournament. But against South Africa, he didn't come to the party at all. He did not. Because there were times where he was holding on to the ball too long. He wasn't making the right passes, the right decisions. Moses Simon, like, I'm not expecting anything from that guy. But then I Chukwueze. Chukwueze to continue doing the same thing. Then this guy had 1-on-1. Lookman had 1-on-1. That game should have ended. He had 1-on-1. And I felt like he thought he could round the keeper, or maybe because it's one leg player, so he just flubbed his lines. But
part of the sport.
It's part of the sport. So going forward, attacking, we're doing well. We just need to make right decisions. And throughout this tournament, you will not believe it. Osimhen has not been 1-on-1 with the keeper. You will not believe it. Like, the only chances he has been having, which I feel like he needs to do better, is crosses coming in and him not having the right contact. Is that nodding it out or like over the bar or not on target, going wide? You need to like, when there's a few times where he needed to like knock the ball down, that would have been a goal. But
you saying him not having 1-on-1 this entire competition, that's hard to believe, but I'll take your word for it since I haven't.
No, for real. It's been, I would say maybe 1 or 2. But yeah, you can quote me on it. He has not had a good like chance that we say, okay, this guy should bury this as a striker. Nope.
Either way, I think Osimhen is we regard Osimhen as an elite striker. So
yeah.
I would have expected a little more goals from him, but it is what it is. As long as he's still having an impact to the game, we appreciate that. So
but it's funny because most of our goals have come from his tenacity, either him getting the penalties or doing assists or hold on play. Mm-hmm. So he's been doing his job. Like I'm not saying anything. So I guess Ivory Coast, I will not be surprised if Ivory Coast wins it because home, they are the hosts and they've come back from the dead.
Akon has been interesting though. Aren't they the team that fired their coach?
Yes, they fired a coach.
They just started doing well.
Yes. They had to get another coach to get to the next round.
Madness.
They thought they had, you know, been out of the tournament. So Sebastian Allah is like almost getting, I think he's back to himself. Yes. So I'll not be surprised. Honestly, at this point, I'm fulfilled as a Nigerian supporter. We've done really, really well. We've exceeded expectations. I'm not sure there's any Nigerian, maybe a few, that will say Nigeria will be in the final.
I don't think we're not the favorites. We're not the favorites, we've been knocked out since quarterfinals.
Yes, because Morocco was like, okay, the team to go all the way. We had Egypt because of, you know, heritage.
Senegal.
Team for sure. Yeah, we had Senegal. We had Mali.
All these teams, heritage teams, Algeria,
yes.
I think
Tunisia,
all the those guys.
So the moment those guys were out, I was like, yeah, this is like opportunity because we always struggle against African
countries. For sure.
And also feel like when we play in West Africa, right?
Mm-hmm.
Usually, like, North Africans don't really do well in West Africa in AFCON.
Why is that?
I don't know. There should be some explanation for that, but they don't do well.
Is there some temperature difference or something?
Maybe the weather, maybe the terrain, maybe something. But they don't do well.
Would you say this is like one of the best AFCON so far?
This is the best. This is the best. Like knowing how technology has come into play, knowing how the drama has gone, knowing how everybody has played, and even the gameplay has been superb, has been better than in the past. So personally, yes, I think so. This is my opinion.
Fair enough.
This is my opinion. So yeah, I'll be surprised. I'll be surprised if Ivory Coast, you know, wins. But if Nigeria wins, it's icing on the cake.
Honestly. Yeah, I although I haven't seen a lot of the games or whatever, I would expect Nigeria to win it. I think down the line we'll give it our all. As long as our defense is still staying intact as they have been doing us all competition long, I think we have a great chance.
So there's a joke I saw. Say my trigger, please. There's a joke on X, formerly known Twitter. Formerly known as Twitter. Ghana jollof rice made with Cameroon pepe.
Oh yeah,
and antelope meat while listening to Amapiano.
Amapiano, yeah. And the guy had love like it. 3 plates of food.
Yes, love it.
That was hilarious.
Love it.
So, yeah, I saw that. That was funny.
Yeah, there's this I would say story for Ivory Coast, Cote d'Ivoire. So they lost 4-0 to Equatorial Guinea, lost 2 of their group games, finished 3rd.
Yeah, they lost 2 of their group games. I thought they won 1, drew 1, and lost.
They lost 2 because they finished 3rd. Manager resigned.
Okay.
Considered in the 4th minute against Senegal, and you're like, okay, that's all. But they went on to win on penalties. Came back against Mali with 10 men. And they only won 1 game within 90 minutes. And that's in the group stage.
Interesting.
So yeah, it's gonna be a good fairy tale story.
When we met them, did we beat them?
We beat them. We beat them 1-0.
Okay.
Yeah, we beat them 1-0.
Okay.
So it'll be a nice fairy tale. But you know, when you come back and meet a team you met in a group stage, it's always very difficult to beat them.
There's also a stat that says the last time we met Ivory Coast in Nations Cup,
yeah,
we went all the way to win it.
Yes. So we met them when we won it last time. I think we met them in quarterfinals or semifinals. Semifinals. Anyway. Was semifinals. Yeah. That game was like that was the game that we needed to win. Once we won that game, we're like, yeah, winning this tournament. But this is different because they don't have like they have players who are like I would say they're like workers like they know how to grind. Their players know how to grind. So yeah, it's gonna be very interesting.
Yeah.
Before we predict the EPL games, what do you have for Super Bowl?
I'm going to go for the underdogs for the Niners.
Okay.
Well, right, keep going. Everybody expects to choose. I'll just go for the Niners.
It's
boring just picking those guys.
I'll stick to the popular
bandwagon.
Popular pick. Yeah, bandwagon. Yes. Yeah. So quickly, let's do this. Time is fast spent. Manchester City, Everton. Who are you picking?
City.
City too. But it's an interesting game. Fulham Bournemouth.
I don't know if Bournemouth has plateaued, but they are falling my hand recently. I'll go with a draw.
Yeah, send me a draw. Liverpool Burnley.
Liverpool.
You guys have to win that game.
We're bouncing back for sure.
Luton Town Sheffield.
Luton Town. What?
Luton is at home. Yeah.
Regardless where they are.
Yeah, Luton Town. And you know it's very difficult to play them when they are home. Tottenham Brighton. That's another good game.
Yeah, some will be back. Oh. Well, Tottenham. Both of them.
I'm surprised.
Both of them are like best boost, man.
Exactly. So that game was very interesting. But I feel like Tottenham just run rings around them again.
But
I'll pick Brighton.
I would say Tottenham because I think they have I think they edge them with the quality.
If Tottenham plays the same way they play against Everton, they will chop Korea beating 5-0.
Keep this in mind, right? Everton and Brighton are different teams.
Yes,
Brighton would play in a similar fashion to Spurs. They want to go and attack as well. So it's like you can't. It's not apples to apples. I'll go with Spurs though. I think it's
I'll probably go with Brighton.
Be a high scoring game.
A very high scoring game. Not like probably. It's going to be a high scoring because both of them they just want to just play the middle. Yes, Brentford. Brentford.
Who's my team this year? Wolves.
Yeah, I pick Wolves too. Wolves. Nottingham Forest, Newcastle.
Nottingham Forest.
I want to be Nottingham Forest too. But Newcastle, man.
Nottingham Forest.
Let me pick Newcastle. Okay. But I would love the Nottingham Forest to win though. Yeah. I love them to win, but I'll pick Newcastle. So on Sunday, West Ham, Arsenal.
I am going to say a draw.
I think Arsenal will beat them. They don't have players. Yeah, they don't have players.
Yeah, fair.
They don't have players. Arsenal. Aston Villa United. Aston Villa is at home.
That's actually a big game. I'll say the game they just played yesterday is screwing my thinking, but I would say Aston Villa.
Okay.
Probably a 2-1.
Let me just stick with United. Let's see if Aston Villa will make the same mistake they did against us. But the problem is once Aston Villa wakes up like this and turn up, it's going to be very difficult for United.
Yeah.
But we'll see. This game will make me know if Ten Hag is a good manager or not. Crystal Palace, Chelsea.
Oh my god!
The game of dreadlocks, battle of dreadlocks. You know who is who.
But I'll say Chelsea because Crystal Palace is going to be without Eze, Olise, their centre back is it? Bro, I can't pronounce his name. Gewin or something like that. Mm. So they are missing three major key players. So
Without information. Knowing Chelsea now, they are fighting each other. But I feel like they'll come together again because Thiago Silva's wife is causing problem. But I feel like Chelsea will win this game.
I'll go with Chelsea.
Yeah, I feel like Chelsea will win. Yeah. So one more thing. When Nigeria was playing South Africa, like half of the team has Dada. I don't know who was who. I know they were playing rubbish. So I was like, okay, was this Lukman or was this Simon? I don't know. Was it Chukwueze? I don't know who was playing rubbish. All of them. I was doing the same thing. I'm like,
speaking of AFCON, you just reminded me. We have to give credit to South Africa, though. Having more than 80% of their players playing in their league.
Yes.
I think they deserve. All the credit they can
get, all the accolades, all the credits.
Like that's a great fit. Very, 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 very impressive.
During the run up to this game, the game before game against Nigeria, they played good football. Like I saw that game, like South Africa played good football. So I'm not surprised.
That's what I heard.
Just that Nigeria just knows how to just throw spanner into the works, scatter everything, and you won't understand what's going on.
Aggressive.
It was not even aggressive, but just like playing, and they don't understand what's going on. Like, you know. Anyways, thank you for.
There's one more. Is that all the games?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Nice.
Did you think of another game? That's all the games.
Oh, no, that was it.
Yeah, that's all the games. The Champions League is back.
Bro, can't wait.
It's back. Yeah. Is the team in Champions League?
No, we're not. Doesn't mean I don't appreciate it. Doesn't mean I don't appreciate the tournament.
Anyways,
are you there?
Forget about us.
Are you there?
Forget about us.
Are you there? It's the Champions League is back.
Yeah, it's back, but your team is not there. So it's one of us now. Anyways, thank you for coming through, and thank you for everyone for listening to this special episode.
Yeah,
you know, keep praying for us, support Nigeria, support United.
Nigeria,
the two teams are playing well. The teams are playing well. So, what is good for one is good for another. Nigeria plays after United, right? Let me check the time. I think Nigeria plays after United on Sunday.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, let me check the time.
That's good.
Yeah, Nigeria plays after United. You can get really good, or you can get horrible wrong.
Okay, we'll see. That should be good. That should be a good one.
Sunday we go good. Now Wednesday we go no. So,
adieu. Weekend we go good.
Now Wednesday we go no. Anyways, thank you everyone for listening to this episode. Hopefully to be back. Yeah.
All right, man. Bye. Thanks. Bye. Bye.